This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Braves Radio Network channel on the Podcast Park is brought to you by Truist Bank. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank. This is Atlanta's exclusive home for Atlanta Braves baseball, bringing you the latest on the Braves all year. Now, the Fan presents the Braves Clubhouse Report.
1-1 to Olsen, and he drives one to deep center field. Back at the wall, that is pulverized out of the ballpark.
Presented by Arrow Exterminators. Call 888-GO-ARROW or visit arrowexterminators.com.
Swung on, belted, deep right field. Gone.
This is the home of the Braves, the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Now, the Braves Clubhouse Report.
Well, a happy opening day eve, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It's another Wednesday afternoon, 2 o'clock. That means it is the Braves Clubhouse Report, taking you to the bottom of the hour, getting you set for opening day. Braves and Phillies in the city of brotherly love coming up in 25 hours. Or so we hope. Fingers crossed Mother Nature will cooperate tomorrow afternoon. And, of course, this time tomorrow, we'll be bringing you the Ford Leadoff Show, getting you ready for all of the action. Braves and Phillies, start of a three-game series and a six-game road trip for the Braves, who will see the Chicago White Sox next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We got a lot to get to coming up over the course of today's show, including a sit-down with the old Battle Axe. That's right, Chipper Jones going to join us in just a few moments in our next segment. Talk to Chipper about opening day, the lead-up, and what spring training those last 7 to 10 days was like for him as a player. We'll also get his thoughts on this pitching staff and how dangerous they can be here in 2024. Later on, we'll also check in with Matt Chernoff, find out what's coming up on the Chuck and Chernoff program here. But again, don't forget, tomorrow afternoon, 1:50 Eastern, 12:50 Central, Domino and I will be on the air with the Ford Leadoff Show. Ben Ingram, Joe Simpson with the call of the Braves and Phillies. 3:05 Eastern from Philadelphia. You'll hear all the action here on The Fan, the Braves Radio Network, and of course the 680 The Fan mobile app. Do not forget, if you have not downloaded it yet, you can take Braves baseball with you wherever you go. It is all free of charge, and we are excited to get this thing going. Of course, tomorrow it'll be Spencer Strider taking on Zach Wheeler in Game 1. Game 2 we'll see Max Fried and Aaron Nola, and then Sunday afternoon's finale in Philly, a couple of veteran lefties as Chris Sale will make his Braves debut against Ranger Suarez. We mentioned the Braves will head out to the south side of Chicago, see the White Sox Monday afternoon, Tuesday evening, and Wednesday afternoon. So five of the first six games for the Braves will be day games. So you don't have to stay up too late with us here, at least in the early going. And then, of course, the Braves will open the home portion of their schedule a week from this Friday against the National League champion Arizona Diamondbacks. All right, when we return, we're going to sit down with Chipper Jones, get his thoughts on all things Braves 2024. That plus more as we continue on the Braves Clubhouse Report coming up next right here on The Fan.
The Braves Clubhouse Report on 680 The Fan.
I'm what you might call very good at hide and seek. And since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my super secret hiding spots. So I can kill time in here by streaming my favorite...
Ha! Found ya.
How?
You left to find my tablet on.
Get wall-to-wall Wi-Fi on the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
Now, here's more Braves talk from inside the clubhouse. This is the Atlanta Braves Clubhouse Report, presented by Arrow Exterminators, on the home of the Braves, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
We continue with you on this week's edition of the Braves Clubhouse Report with you Wednesdays, 2 to 2:30, here on your home of the Braves, the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. And we are now joined on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line by a guy who, let's be honest, he needs no introduction. He's a first ballot Hall of Fame. He's a Braves legend, and he is the old Battle Axe, Chipper Jones, kind enough to spend some time with us here on the show. And Chipper, I'm sure you're just like the rest of us, not only here in Braves country, but all of us that are Major League Baseball fans, counting down the minutes and the hours until they kick off this regular season, right?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, lot of expectations for this upcoming year, especially with the way the last two postseasons have kind of ended a little more abruptly than we expected. You know, kind of reminds me of back in the day, but these guys continue to have a loaded offense and, you know, a revamped kind of starting rotation, revamped bullpen. I mean, they got some arms down the bullpen that are going to be great. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how the start of the season kind of turns out. But, I mean, let's face it, as Doggy once told me in spring training, I think it was late 90s, early 2000s, you know, I was kind of talking to him and I expressed my concern over, you know, maybe a weakness here or there. He goes, Chipper, he goes, we're going to win this division by 20 games. Doesn't matter how we do in the regular season. It only matters how we do in the postseason. I kind of got a feeling that a lot of people were feeling that way about this 2024 Braves team.
Let me ask you that, because last season, this team accomplished so much, 104 wins. You know how hard that is to do back-to-back years with 100-plus victories, 307 home runs, the first inning runs, the way they could knock you in the teeth early on. How do you look back on that? Because I know there's some folks will say, yeah, that's all well and good, but it ended a lot earlier than they had hoped. How do you sort of put a season like that in perspective?
The same way you could put into perspective how the, you know, what was it, the 2000 Seattle Mariners won like 116 games or something like that. I mean, look, we all know that, you know, accomplishments during the regular season are great for historical purposes. You know, the Minnesota Twins a few years ago, they hit 307 homers too. Didn't get him a banner, you know. So it only matters if you are playing well at the right time of the year. I think that if the Braves are healthy going into October, they have to be one of the favorites. And I believe that I really love Alex Anthopoulos's move to bring in Chris Sale, and it's twofold for me. Well, it's threefold for me, actually, because the second that Chris Sale signed over here, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, Bryson Stott, Otani, Freddie Freeman, they all stood up and took notice, because he was brought in, number one, to solidify the starting rotation. Number two, to add a little spunk, should I say, a little spice, should I say, a little toughness, should I say. And then obviously, you know, we need another left-handed starting pitcher that's going to be able to get lefties out. And I can't think of anybody that I have ever faced in my career, maybe save Randy Johnson, the big unit, that is any more intimidating from the left side than Chris Sale.
Yeah, it's certainly an exciting move. And I guess for a guy at his point in his career, 34 years old, he's dealt with the injuries the last couple of seasons. I don't know if it's chip on his shoulder or maybe just a little extra motivation to kind of get back to that guy. And I'm sure you've heard Snit say, a guy like Chris Sale brings instant credibility to a clubhouse. You start looking at this rotation now, that's kind of been the Braves' downfall the last few years in October, wouldn't you say?
We certainly did not pitch well last year. We didn't hit either. I can't put it all on the starting rotation, but you know, I think that when you are able to shorten games, when you are able to go to your three or four best relievers, you make the game a five or a six inning game. And when you have starters that can consistently go out there and throw up zeros, especially with the amount of firepower that the Braves have had over the last couple of years in their lineup, their ability to score runs early, teams were done by the fifth or sixth inning against this club. I think we've done nothing but get better in the pitching category with the additions to the bullpen. Getting Matzik back is going to be huge for this club. But now, like, you've got swing and miss ability all up and down the rotation. You've got swing and miss ability, 100 miles an hour coming out of the bullpen. What wins in the postseason? Swing and miss. People who can swing and miss. People who can limit the amount of contact in the postseason, those are usually the teams that can win. And when you've got a lockdown, you know, seventh, eighth, and ninth inning guy, and to be honest with you, the Braves have more than just those three. That's a great formula. And this is not to be understated. The Braves had, I think I heard on the radio you say yesterday that the Braves had started 16 different guys. Can I impress upon you the rotation that's going to be down in Gwinnett? If somebody needs to skip a start or you know, we've got a doubleheader, you know, I'm anxious to see Washgory Noah, how he bounces back from TJ, Ian Anderson, how he bounces back. Hurston Waldrop, first round pick out of Florida. We got a guy who made the stinking National League All-Star team down there last year that's going to be in AAA. So it's, you know, there's some depth there as well, which is always good because, you know, if Chris Sale needs to skip a start or Charlie, because let's face it, getting a little long in the tooth, they're getting about as gray as I am. it's nice to be able to dip down and know that you're going to get a quality start from a AAA guy.
No question about it. And we talk about that depth. Obviously, it's going to be tested when you play 162, and excited to see what this rotation can do. Chipper Jones is joining us on the Braves Clubhouse Report. Hey, speaking of the rotation, Spencer Strider getting the nod on opening day. Now, you mentioned some of the tougher pitchers that you faced. When you think about his fastball and all he's accomplished the first 2 years, and now he's throwing a curveball, like, how in the world is anybody going to hit this guy this year?
Yeah, you know, we were talking a little bit last year about the changeup, and maybe didn't have the confidence in it to be able to throw it at crunch time. Me as a hitter, I see that. I'm going to completely eliminate that pitch, you know, when it comes to crunch time. The guys who throw 100 miles an hour have got to have some discrepancy between their fastball and their off-speed pitches. And if this curveball gives him that discrepancy, and I'm talking anywhere from 10 to 15 miles an hour difference in his fastball, then it's going to be a positive, because you have to respect 100 miles an hour. You have to. I do not want to get beat with 100 miles an hour. So if he beats me with his secondary pitch or his third best pitch, I'll tip my cap, but I am not getting beat by that fastball. So I'll give you a great example. Back when Pedro Martinez was at the height of his run, okay, the fastball was 96, 97. The changeup was 81, right? That's a huge discrepancy. Now, when Pedro lost velocity later on in his career and that disparity shrunk a little bit, now you saw guys like me kind of get back in the game a little bit. You know, I mean, it's hard to cover both pitches. Trevor Hoffman with his fastball and changeup, huge discrepancy between the two. And, you know, as he started to lose velocity, you started to see that disparity shrink and people started to catch up to the changeup a little bit. So it's great that he has this off-speed pitch. I've often said things I'd like to see out of guys that throw that hard is the ability to subtract and the ability to have that 10 to 12 mile an hour difference between fastball and off speed.
Should be a lot of fun. And obviously I'm sure the Philly fans are going to be geared up to welcome him to Citizens Bank Park. You certainly played a number of games, a number of series over the years in Philadelphia. I don't know though, Chipper, when I think back to the last two postseasons, and obviously I'm a Philly native, everyone knows that, I don't know that I've heard that building any louder than it's been the last two division series. Take me back to your time on the field and how you know, tough that can be on you as a player. You know, we always talk about, oh, they can rattle guys, but those folks up there, you know, they're going to be loud. They're going to be ready for baseball. What does that do for you guys on the field? How much can that throw you off your game?
Well, the last two seasons beating of the Atlanta Braves now has heightened the rivalry between Philadelphia and Atlanta over what it was with the Mets, you know, back in my day. You know, that was our number one foe. I can remember going in, when did they win the World Series? 08, 09?
Yeah. 08.
Okay, so I was still playing, having to go in there and face Doc Halliday and Cole Hamels and Lee, and you know, I mean, those three starters were every bit as good as any three starters that I've ever faced. You knew, you know, that they, when those guys pitched, they had a great chance to win. And I've never seen a fan base as a whole, not even the Shea Stadium fans back when I played. I've never seen a stadium just absolutely fall in love with a ball club, you know, and that is a testament to how well they've put their team together, because you know, obviously they got Bryce Harper, who's a superstar, but they've got a bunch of blue collar guys. You know, I think one of the moves by a rival team that has kind of gone under the radar is the Whit Merrifield pickup. I think he is a tremendous pickup for that ball club and fits in line with the Schwarbers, the Stotts. You know, Stott reminds me so much of Chase Utley, Castellanos, you know, Marsh. These guys are not superstars. They're very good players, don't get me wrong, but they're blue collar guys. They beat you with heart and hustle, and that city is just falling in love with this club. And the fact that, you know, they haven't really been much of a factor in the division during the season, for them to get into the playoffs and beat the number one team the last 2 years, that's saying a lot about the character of that ball club. And I think Bryce Harper's done a great job of growing into, you know, the leader in that clubhouse. It's one thing to be the superstar and lead on the field, but he's also doing it in the clubhouse as well. And it's nice to see that maturation process.
Isn't it hard to believe he's not only been in Philly as long as he has, but folks, when his career is done, they're going to think of him as a Philly. I mean, you thought when he came up, he's going to be a National for, like, yeah. People aren't even going to remember those first handful of years in DC.
Yeah. He's taken on Mike Schmidt status, yeah. You know, right now. And to be honest with you, he's impressed me, showing his versatility, being able to move to the infield and not skip a beat and playing well over there. They're going to need him in the lineup every day. I know he's got a little bit of a balky back right now, but they lose him for any length of time, it's going to be tough on him. But once again, you know, going in there, we have not shown the ability to be able to beat Wheeler, Nola, and Suarez consistently, and until we get over that hump, we're going to continue to struggle with them. And you know, it's that's why it's a great first series of the year, because they got their top three lined up, we got our top three lined up. We know what happened at the end of last year. Now let's run it back.
Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. And like you said, hopefully they can get over that hump come October. Another minute or two with Chipper Jones before we let you go. I know you're a busy man, but I wanted to get your thoughts. I know that, you know, we hear players throughout the course of spring training, you know, you kind of get to that week three, week four, and you're sort of going, all right, how many more days do we have left? What were those final, like, what was that final week to 10 days like for you? I know you knew how to get yourself prepared, but what, I guess the dog days of spring training, now that it's over, like, how much were you guys just ready to pack up and turn that thing north?
Yeah, those damn pitchers, man, they take too long to get in shape. It sucked. The last week of spring training stunk, because you know, I probably needed about 30 at bats. I needed 20 at bats left-handed and maybe 8 or 10 right-handed to get myself ready. Obviously you got to get your legs in shape, but you can get that done in about the first 3 weeks. You know, I'm 52 years old now, so it probably take me a little longer, but back when I was 25 or 30, you know, within 10 days or 2 weeks, I'd be I'd be ready to go. But obviously, you know, it's a little different now because spring training for us was at Disney, you know, so there were other things to do, you know, it made it a little more where you could stomach 6 weeks because of, you know, the family could come down. They look forward to it, man, down there in Northport. There's not a lot to do. You know, I mean, even the restaurants closed down about 7:30, 8 o'clock down there. So it, you know, a lot of twiddle your thumb type of evenings and afternoons and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is, come about March 20th, 25th, we were absolutely chomping at the bit. It's spring training gets stale and you've worked your whole offseason to get ready for 162, and whatever happens after that is gravy. But yeah, to say these guys are chomping at the bit is an understatement, I can promise you.
Yeah, I remember those days at Disney. You'd see the boxes start piling up with about 7 or 8 days to go. The truck was headed north, and everyone was just ready to get on out of there. Final one for you here, Chipper. I know that you were part of one of the more remarkable runs that baseball has seen with 14 consecutive division titles. Braves have won 6. Obviously, they're not even halfway there yet. But when you think about what this core, what this group has done in the last 6 seasons, how similar is it starting to look and feel like what you went through? I know you guys every year came to spring training knowing, hey, we have a chance to be, you know, the last man standing. There's not a lot of teams that can say that, but how similar and how much parallels do you see between the group that you were a part of and now the group that you get to help coach?
A lot, a lot of similarities. And it starts with the good young core mixing with a good group of veterans early on in the run to kind of show them the ropes. Alex has done a great job of locking these guys up. These guys are all best buddies. Like all this young group, core group of players, they're all good buddies. Like they want to play together. They want to hang out together. They want to make a run at 14. I can promise you that. You know, they hear about it all the time. And they are certainly built for it. And you have to credit the man at the top, Alex Anthopoulos, since he's gotten here, has done nothing but provide stability. He's got a great rapport with Snit. They work phenomenally together, which doesn't always happen between GM and manager. But you have to have that core of young players that like each other, that create a winning culture, and that promotes people wanting to come in here and sign, wanting to come in here and play, wanting to come in here and be a part of what I think is something that could be very special. And I wouldn't put anything past these guys. If they stay together long enough, they could certainly make a run at 10, 12, 14 in a row.
Well, we'll see if they can take a step closer to that this weekend. They'll kick things off in Philadelphia. Chipper, I'd be remiss if I didn't pass along hello from my son, Max. I told him I was talking to you today. He said, make sure you tell Uncle Chipper I say hello. So we appreciate the time. Max sends his best as well, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the ballpark real soon, my friend.
All right, buddy. Good to talk to you. You tell Max I said hello as well.
We'll do it. That's Chipper Jones joining us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Quick break, and we'll wrap things up right on the other side. It's the Braves Clubhouse Report. We're back after this here on The Fan.
This is the Braves Clubhouse Report, exclusively on 680 The Fan.
Look, some choices in life are complicated. Others, thankfully, are much simpler, like choosing True as One Checking. There are no overdraft fees, lots of practical perks, and when your life evolves and account balances grow, we'll upgrade your perks automatically. Truist One Checking. One simple choice. Truist Bank. Member FDIC.
Hey, Braves fans. Spring and warm weather are officially here, and you know what that means. Bugs, termites, mosquitoes, ants, and roaches will be out in full force. Luckily, you can trust the pros at Arrow Exterminators to keep your home pest-free inside and out. Arrow Exterminators protects homes and businesses and is the official pest control provider of Truist Park and the Atlanta Braves, so you know that you're getting the best from the best. To set up a free pest inspection, call 888-GO-ARROW or visit arrowexterminators.com. That's 888-GO-ARROW or visit arrowexterminators.com.
The 2 p.m. hour is brought to you by Southern Exteriors, the Southeast's premier home exterior solution. Quality and precision you can rely on for over 20 years. Visit southernexteriors.co. You're listening to the Braves Clubhouse Report, presented by Arrow Exterminators, exclusively on Atlanta's sports station, the home of the Braves, the Fan.
Big thanks to Chipper Jones hopping on, joining us here on this week's edition of the Braves Clubhouse Report. Opening day eve tomorrow, Braves and Phillies in the city of brotherly love. Looking forward to getting this thing going for real. Braves did head up to Philadelphia last night. They'll enjoy a day off today and hopefully not a day off tomorrow. We would love to see this season get underway as scheduled. Again, it's a 3:05 Eastern first pitch.
The Ray Delay Show.
No, do not even speak that into existence. That was digital, Matt, but Matt... Don't even speak that into existence.
You imagine a day off on the first day? That's or a rain. Like, if we have to do the award-winning rain delay show, I'm not rooting for that. I want an on-time departure at 3:05, but I just know how you and Domino and the callers, there's just a simpatico between all of you. If it has to happen, it has to happen.
Well, we have. I mean, these folks have been waiting, you know, 5.5 months. Right. I mean, the questions, I guarantee, will be at an all-time best.
Do you think there is a chance that some of the most dedicated callers might have a running list of ideas? And I almost said put in their phone. Forget that. Wrote it on a piece of paper and just you're going to, like, fire them off to you and Domino.
I'm sure they do. You know what? My favorite caller was one, I think it was 2 years ago, lady waited on hold 45 minutes to ask me why the fourth batter of the game was the cleanup hitter.
Okay.
And I explained it to her, right? But I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's a long time when you
sit
can
on that.
To Google.
Well.
But, hey, I'm happy to take the calls.
Sure.
I love it.
What is the exact explanation other than you clean up the RBIs?
There you go.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Nothing
well,
really.
Who decided four was the cleanup hitter instead of five?
I don't know.
See what I mean? She asked a good question, and I don't think you gave her an appropriate answer.
Well, answer my brother's question.
Yeah, and then we got to deal with those idiots and Ben and Bowman.
They're creative.
Sometimes.
Because they're bored during a rain delay, too, and they want to just see if they can get your goat.
Yeah, well, is it a brother?
Yeah, they definitely do. Hey, have you guys done your preseason predictions? Have
we
you
did
done,
our vault yesterday.
You did? I missed it. You'll have to go back and listen to it on the app.
Please do. It's on, what? No, you can't ding us yet. We don't know if we missed anything. So, yes, our season-long Braves predictions are now official.
Okay.
I think I had the Braves winning 101 games. I think I had them beating the Orioles in the World Series.
In three
games. Yes, they were beating the Orioles so bad.
They just gave up.
The league said, let's end it now. There's no need to even play this out. The Braves had outscored Baltimore in the World Series in my projections 64-3.
Oof.
So the league was like, all right, we're good. Parade time.
There you go.
So, yeah. Did you see Ronald Acuna's piece in the Players Tribune?
I did. I was going to ask you. What do you think?
That was great.
Yeah.
That was so well done. If you guys have not seen this, Ronald did a piece in the Players Tribune. They gave me some of the feels of the Jock Peterson from a few years ago. And the vulnerability that he showed in this, the maturity that he showed, I'm going to bring this up to Chuck because Chuck doesn't have any emotion. So I want to see if we can move him. But so he mentions, and I'll just give you a couple of things in there. It's going to take you some time to read it. A Players Tribune pieces are 10, 15 minutes long. But at one point he talks about his growth and maturity, things he did in the game early in his career that he said got me benched and I deserved it. He talked about leaving his home country of Venezuela to come to the States and the sadness and the depression being away from his family. He talked about the barrier, the language barrier, and how difficult that. I mean, he shared so many things that, again, showed some vulnerabilities that you can hear the maturity in his writing and the way he described it.
I think that was one, and that stood out to me as well. I think that's the one area when you start reading, you don't realize these players come over, they're 16, right. 17 years old. They don't know a thing about the land. They don't know anywhere, you know, about the country. They're leaving everything they know behind. I think a lot of times people just look at him and say, well, they're just athletes. They're robots. But I think he certainly showed a real human element in that story.
And I think the other part is he's like, I know other teams and managers have gotten mad the way I play. He's like, this, I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
I'm playing this game, and I love what I do, and it's fun. He goes, I'm not trying to show anybody up. It's just me showing emotion. He says at one point, his mom calls him, stop doing that. It's like, okay, mom, I'll stop doing it. He's like, I can't. I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
But his mom's like, act humble.
Yeah.
Act like, you know, so he shares so much stuff that because of the language barrier, we would have never heard from Ronnie at different points of his career. He felt reading that as much of an Atlanta Brave as I've ever sort of considered Ronald Acuna, just more than just the talent. Like, I found out stuff in that piece I would have never known otherwise.
And good for you, good for him. I mean, that it's not easy to learn another language. And he's worked hard. He's done a lot of interviews in English here lately. Like, I think that's to be commended. He's really worked hard at it, too.
I promise you, too, I'm not giving away too much of the piece because it's a 20-minute read.
Yeah.
He said, I could speak no English, so I ate two places in the minors. There was a Pollo Tropical in front of my motel by the ballpark, and he says there was a Chinese buffet. He goes, Pollo Tropical Monday, Chinese buffet Tuesday, rotate Wednesday, Thursday. He's like, once in a while I'd bring food from the ballpark. He goes, I couldn't speak any English. I was scared to go out because I'm so shy to ask for anything else.
Chuck here. There was a story Cotter used to tell. Ilya Kovalchuk, when he first was a rookie with the Thrashers, he ate every dinner when he was in Atlanta. He lived in whatever the big building was. He said he would go to Maggiano's. He'd walk in and say, chicken.
Well, that's what Ronnie did. Somebody taught him to say chicken and rice.
Chicken. Yep. Yeah. And he said, and what kind of chicken? We have like chicken. And so finally, they just started bringing him chicken every night.
Wow.
Ronnie also talked about his just immense shyness. He's like, people see me on the field, and that's a different guy. He goes, off the field, I'm so afraid to talk to anybody or ask questions. It's been a problem in my life. It's just, again, the vulnerability shows is interesting.
Also, not having an interpreter, great way to safeguard the bank account.
Well, so. He has an interpreter, but he works for the Braves, and that's Franco Garcia, but yes. So go read the Players Tribune piece on Ronnie that he wrote. It's tremendous.
Yeah, it's really well done. I read that this morning before coming in, and what a great way to kick off the season. You're reading from the unanimous National League MVP. It was a great piece, so congratulations to him. What's coming up on the big show? I mean, it's opening day eve.
It
I'm
is.
Sure you guys are chock full of great stuff.
We do. We got a lot of Braves stuff here on the eve of the Braves trying to win their second championship in 4 years.
I don't really
years.
Like baseball.
That's a little bit much, Chuck. Plus, we'll get our agent to the Stars, Hadley Engelhardt, to join us and ask him about Shohei and the relationship with different people on your team, from interpreters to accountants and agents, and how you make sure your money is protected. So we'll pick his brain on that. We'll get the people's lawyer, Bruce Hagan, who has an opinion on Shohei, the voice of the Braves. Ben Ingram is scheduled at 4:30, but he's had a bit of a history of big-timing people.
Uh-oh.
Have you guys not heard this? He's done this to McAlpin. Now, you told me several times Ben's changed.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you've said over and over you've scheduled him, and sometimes he just stands you up. So we're gonna
that
hope,
is awful.
Right. We're going to hope Ben shows up at 4:30 at a scheduled time.
Well, Ben would be here. Mr. Ingram, he may be a...
If you're nasty.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So a lot of that.
You might have to drag him away from the weight room. He's probably getting a good lift in this afternoon.
In Philadelphia, apparently, it's the, what is it, the Clubhouse Philly cheesesteak?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like the best clubhouse food in the league.
Yeah, my buddy Eric Michaels works down there in the clubhouse. He makes, I'm telling you, you could put the visitors' clubhouse cheesesteak against any other one in the city. I would pick that one.
This is so weird because my parents are both from Philly.
Yeah.
Never liked cheesesteaks.
Really?
I know.
Oh, it's
I
good
know.
If the bread's right.
Yep.
If the bread's
just,
right.
Just never been my bag. And they would take me back there, and I've had cheesesteaks. No, it's just, it's not, I wouldn't put it in a top 10 of what I would pick to choose from. Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
It's to me, I think about it, it's almost perfect. By the time you get about halfway through, the remaining steak has made that bread the perfect amount of greasy, and it gets a little smaller, and it's just wonderful.
Man, you're making me crave a cheesesteak now, Chuck. Man, got to work on this
guy. Have one on the way home, pre-dinner dinner.
It's not a bad idea.
If you dinner said, tonight, had the pre-dinner dinner.
If you said Matt burrito or cheesesteak, I'd go burrito.
Really?
I wouldn't even think about it. That would just be in. If you said chicken parm sub or burrito or cheesesteak, I'd go chicken parm sub. There's a lot of things I would choose over it. That's all.
Have you had a real good one, though? Okay,
you've
gone to the
My family, we would go back there. They wouldn't take me to Pat's and Gino's.
Good.
We would go to these places where Dad would. I was like, it's fine.
But you'd rather have a quesadilla.
A good quesadilla, yeah. Yeah. I mean, just it's how I'm programmed. Don't judge me any more than you already are.
I'm as confused as Chuck is.
You're allowed.
All right.
Get in line, Mikel.
Exactly right.
He's still like I've watched him eat in restaurants for 24 years. I bet you if I give him four items that, I can get what he's eating 95% of the time when he's out on the road.
Probably. Yeah.
Four items.
You're not wrong.
So.
All right.
I like what I like. I'm at my point in my life where it's like, if I like it, we all go to restaurants and end up picking the same two things off the menu because you're afraid of screwing up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with where I am. I lead my little sheltered life, and I'm happy.
There you go. All right, well, I know what's not going to be sheltered the next 3.5 hours here on The Fan. Chuck and Chernoff, we're going to take you to 6 o'clock. And again, fingers crossed, we will have Braves baseball on the air tomorrow. Braves and Phillies, it'll be Spencer Strider and Zach Wheeler, 3:05 Eastern. Once again, big thanks to Chipper Jones for joining us on this week's show. And we'll do it again next Wednesday at 2 o'clock right here on your home of the Braves, The Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to this week's Inside Look at the Atlanta Braves. Join us every Wednesday at 2 when we take you inside the Braves Clubhouse. It's the Braves Clubhouse Report, presented by Arrow Exterminators, an exclusive presentation of the Atlanta Braves and WCNN North Atlanta, a Dickey Broadcasting Station, the home of your Atlanta Braves. The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Is there chaos in your closet? Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.